installment of the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer, and we're here to talk about the truth, primarily about the tax laws in our country. And when we talk about the Live Free Zone and no truth, only the truth is allowed here, we've had a number of calls over recent programs concerning different theories and different approaches or different what folks have believed to be silver bullets that will do in the Internal Revenue Service and make judges curl their toes up and go away. That's been a great deal, or caused me a great deal of anguish whenever I was just only recently introduced into the tax honesty movement community and saw all of these different ideas and notions running around without what I call much of a filter. And I see a lot of people that have been harmed by these things, and it causes me a lot of concern. And just recently, as a matter of fact, as recently as yesterday, I received an email from one of you. Jim Kirksey wrote in, and he asked whether or not we could provide an explanation on the program for one of these questions that had come up that he had been forwarded, and it caused me to look back and say, well, you know, Tom, you haven't really researched all of these issues. What you researched was what the law actually is. You didn't go into any of these inventive or creative notions about how you might want to wrap the law around something. You just went in, dug up, and produced what you found. I'm not by any stretch authority on these positions. I've never been exposed to them. But you know what? Well, today we've got a very special guest who is an authority on these. Many of you have heard of Larry B. Kraft. Larry B. Kraft is an attorney in Huntsville, Alabama. He has been involved in tax defense and tax research for many years now. Is without a doubt one of the if not the most knowledgeable man in the field of the tax issues, and that includes an awful lot of these theories, these approaches, these strategies, or these positions and arguments that float around the internet, and I believe are just nothing less than snake oil in many cases. But I'm not the authority. I'm not the authority on those, and so we do have the authority online here. You believe that we have him on? Do we have him on, Marcus?
I'm here, Tommy.
Oh, there he is. Larry, how are you doing today?
I'm using the speaker box. Is that all right? Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Just fine. If you roam away from it, though, we'll have to pick up a hard line.
All right. Well, thanks for all that rain you sent to us. We've had storms coming our way, coming from Shreveport, Louisiana.
I said we tried to soak up most of it, but we got out light. I hope you guys didn't take much damage.
Been great to have weather.
Yeah, well, it's great to have weather. That's right. The alternative is that you're 6 feet out of any kind of harm's way. Larry, tell us a little bit before we get started here about your background in the tax issue. When and how did you get started on this?
Well, I graduated from law school in Cumberland School of Law and Samford University in Birmingham in 75. And about 1977, I ran into a friend of mine. He wasn't a friend of mine at the time. I ran into him in the law library, and he had a tax problem, and we started working. After that, about 1977.
Well, you know, look, I took too much time talking here. We've got a real quick, short break, but we'll be right back, and I want to pick up and where we left off, Larry, back here on the Live Free Zone in just a few minutes.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like those old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institution. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 18 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special and hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld disease. Find out who's responsible for this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guy cites control records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspapers. Paper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
I couldn't have picked a better way to drag people past the series of commercials and to start a story so that we'd finish it afterwards, but that wasn't intentional. Larry, you met this gentleman in a library, in the library, with a tax problem, and what happened then?
Well, let me just kind of condense it. I ran into a fellow by the name of Tupper Saucy back in 1979. Tupper was a playwright from Nashville, Tennessee. At the time, he was living up in Suwanee, Tennessee. He had written a book called Miracle on Main Street, and it proved to be very popular over the next 5 and 6 years. And Tupper was involved in the money issue, the tax issue, constitutional battles, an effort to bring the American people and the American government back to the bounds of the Constitution. And after I established a relationship with Tupper, he was putting out Miracle on Main Street and Main Street Journal, a monthly publication. We became fast friends. He started conducting seminars, and that just kind of introduced me to basically what I call the freedom movement in America.
And you've been studying those issues ever since, I guess, almost 30 years now.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a very interesting pursuit. There's a lot of problems with America, and I see law as one way to bring about change. But also change can be brought about by the will of the people, if they'll get out there and, protest against government activities, if they'll help persuade the American people to join on our side. It's just kind of like the Civil Rights Movement. The Civil Rights Movement had a real beef, and they bandied together, and as a result of their efforts, they engaged in litigation, public protests. They helped mold public opinion. And as a result of a far smaller group, had an impact upon this country, and they changed the way people think. They changed the law. They improved their own lot. And I look at the freedom movement And most people are just kind of sitting on their hands and they're long for the ride. And we don't have any real, you know, far larger numbers are involved than in the freedom movement, I would guess, than the civil rights movement.
There's certainly a lot more people affected by the absence of freedom that that we've been watching erode over the last century, that have a vested interest in seeing something happen. And nothing happened with the civil rights movement until they did get off their hands.
So true, and that's exactly what's needed now. The people need to be together. And you got to do a little something for freedom every day. The enemy, the people on the other side, the government bureaucrats, it's a full-time job for them. They're paid to do this. But then again, you know, I found that people that are in that position quite often, it's just a paycheck. They don't have a moral commitment to the cause. The people on our side at least have a moral commitment to our fight. And that's what it takes in order to win. But then you can't win if just by sitting around and holding beliefs and then hoping that somebody else will do something to prove the lot of America.
Well, Larry, I know that I know you well enough to know that you're a lot like I am. That when it comes to my people, I'm like a mother bear. I want to keep them out of harm's way. I want to keep them away from danger. And I see some danger in some of the things that are floating around. Things here that could cause people a lot of harm. What on a lot of these theories and a lot of these practices or gimmicks that are being circulated on the internet, I perceive these as being dangerous to my people. And what's your take on that in a general sense?
Well, you're absolutely correct, Tommy. The real problem is that, you know, truth is truth, and falsity is a lie. And if we have a lot of people on our side that are believing lies, then the rest of America, we need to be making an appeal to the rest of America to come over and join our side. But when they perceive that the message coming from a lot of the people in this movement is a lie, I've seen too many people walk away. And thus, the lies themselves are detrimental to the cause. But then again, the lies are also detrimental to the people that believe them. I've seen too many people injured by believing, you know, what in essence is a lie or a false legal argument.
And so these people that are, a lot of these folks that are out here passing this stuff on are actually the victims rather than the perpetrators, and are actually going to be the ones that will bear the consequences along with those that they pass these ideas on to.
That's true. Can I give you an example?
Sure.
Years ago, and I was out in Texas when I really got the full gist of and comprehension of what was going on. But back in, there was this fellow by the name of Leroy Swassinger, and there was also a Leroy Schweitzer, but, you know, they were promoting this thing known as farm claims. And there had been a lawsuit in Colorado that had been dismissed. But somehow the promoters of this farm claims things resurrected and said that as a result of this dismissed lawsuit, that's the truth of the matter, as a result of this dismissed lawsuit, one of these promoters had been appointed, you know, the overseer for the whole monetary system of the United States. And he went around the country, he and his cohorts went around the country selling these farms. And, of course, there's a lot of people that got into the business of selling those farm claims because you could write a farm claim and you'd get $50, and, you know, anywhere from $200 to $250 would be sent to the home office. But, I mean, there were people writing these farm claims everywhere. Now, what a claim was, supposedly this master that was the overseer of the whole monetary system was taking these claims, federal tort claims, that were going to be presented and paid to the government. So if you've been damaged in any way, you know, you just needed to pay $300, a total of $300, to one of these farm claim representatives. He would get to $50, and he'd send $250 to the home office. And, of course, you'd sit down and show how you'd been damaged. You know, you'd been divorced, you'd lost your farm in a foreclosure, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, of course, you could come up with a claim for $10 million. And so for $300, you know, you could get $10 million. And, of course, these farm claims were flying right and left. Ultimately, you know, none of this was true. And ultimately, the government got around and indicted and convicted a lot of the people that were at the home office that was promoting all this stuff. But then again, it doesn't end there. You know, there's this lady by the name of Dove of Oneness. You know, I don't know much about her, but there used to be a lot of stuff on the internet about Dove of Oneness. double oneness took this same old tired, worn out, false argument and just kind of warped it into, you know, but then again, she admitted that she was communicating with Commander Hatton, who's the commander of a fleet of starships out in the Pleiades. So that gives you a little bit of an indication. You know, you call some arguments tinfoil hat arguments.
Yep.
Well, you know, the Dove of Oneness was deep into that. And, of course, she started promoting all over again, you know, this position that, you know, there had been appointed in the Baskerville case. That's the name of the case. The Baskerville case, you know, one of these guys had been appointed the overseer for the whole monetary system. And that, you know, there were white knights and black knights and things like that. And the white knights were in government, and they were trying to push through this program known as Nisara. Well, you know, you sit down and you read this stuff, and it's either wishful thinking or it's just wild and crazy. And
well, how many people were injured by that?
Well, I'll get around to some injuries. You want to hear stories about injuries?
Yeah, I have one. Maybe two.
Here's some injury stories. Roger Elvick, I've known of him back in the early or mid 80s, but Roger Elvick was this farmer, and he was, you know, kind of a student of the money issue. But then again, you know, he in divided these ways, filed these claims against, filed liens against government agents and stuff like that. He spent some time in jail. And while he was in jail, he heard about this thing known as a Treasury Direct Account. So after he got out of jail, he said, back in the spring of 1999, I remember seeing a transcript of a phone call between Roger Elvick, Doremer, and a guy by the name of Gene Keating. And in that transcript, Roger Elvick revealed a story that in 1935, pursuant to the 1935 Social Security Act, Congress had allocated or set aside, you know, anywhere from $600,000 to $1 million. And, of course, the figure always varies depending upon who's telling the story. But according to Elvick, at least $600,000 was set aside in everybody's account in this Treasury Direct Account that had been established pursuant to the express terms of the 1935 Social Security Act. Of course, no such provision exists in the 1935 Social Security Act. And, of course, Treasury Direct Accounts do exist. They're accounts that are set up for the big brokerage firms that they want to buy on a regular periodic basis, you know, Treasury securities. They might have $5, $10 million sitting in an account, and then on a Tuesday when Treasury's getting ready to issue some bonds, you know, this brokerage firm will say, okay, we're going to buy $4 million worth of bonds today. You know, that's what a Treasury Direct Account is. It doesn't exist for every American, and it doesn't have $600,000 or $1 million in each account. In any event, Roger Elvick came up and, you know, he invented this story about birth certificates. You know, birth certificates in all capital names are ultimately issued by the states, and they fall into the hands of the Department of Commerce or the Department of Transportation in Washington, D.C. And as a result of that, you know, these birth certificates. Now, Tommy, isn't it true that a financial, negotiable instrument, which is a financial instrument, has to have a promise to pay in it, a certain sum of money, right?
Well, in order for it to be a negotiable instrument, it has to have a promise to pay, among other requirements.
Yeah, it's got to be signed by a maker, promise to pay periodic payments at a certain specific time.
That's right.
And does the birth certificate have any promise to pay on it?
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, it's a certificate. It merely memorializes the birth of someone. And thank God, you know, I'm glad I have an out loud birth certificate.
Well, we're going to have to get back to the impact of this story after this break on the Life Free Zone. We'll be talking about calls later, but for a while we're going to just talk. So hang on to that phone, and I'll give you a number in just a minute.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you get the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have proper you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest price on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. Website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution. They'll show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years. With no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Back again after paying a few bills on Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer. We have Larry Vecraft on the line with us today, talking about the Elvic problem. Larry, what happened to folks because of that?
Well, it's the fundamental theory that he was promoting, and it went through this movement like hotcakes. You know, Elvic's theory was that, you know, birth certificates are the foundation of our monetary system, which is absolutely utterly false. Because the foundation of our monetary system is real financial instruments, securities, you know, real promises to pay. Birth certificates doesn't have anything to do with it. But Roger Elvick said this Treasury Direct account had a public side to it and a private side. And what you had to do is, since, you know, these entities' names and caps were creatures of the government, what you had to do is use UCC procedures to recapture your straw man. So your straw man is your name caps, and you'd have to go out there and use UCC procedures to capture him. You know, you'd become the secured party of this creature that's you, your name and caps.
Now we're getting back into the starship.
Yeah. And then once you've done that, then once you've recaptured your straw man, now you have access to this private side of this Treasury Direct account that Congress established for everybody, and now you can write all these drafts. And, you know, I happened to be out in Idaho right after this theory got rolling good, and I ran across a little, you know, 74, 75-year-old woman by the name of Hyla Clapier. And she had had problems with the IRS, and so she had issued some of these treasuries. She had recaptured her straw woman, I guess, and gone through all this procedure and started issuing all these drafts, and she issued these monumental drafts to the IRS and got indicted. Well, a couple of months later, you know, I get a call from a fellow up, and he and his wife had been indicted for tax crimes, and he was from the panhandle of Idaho. And but after he sent me the indictment, he calls me up 3 days later and says, "Oh, I found a way to make all this go away." And I said, "Okay." I closed my file. Now, he had only been charged with three misdemeanors at that time by means of that indictment. About August of that year, he calls me up. Now he's in jail, and he's got four new felonies added to his superseding indictment. And then I learned what the interim and what he had done in the interim. He had attended one of these $200 weekend seminars, and where he had been filled with this UCC stuff and recapture your straw man, and you know we're nothing, we're cattle pursuant to the terms of the Uniform Commercial Code, and you got to go out and recapture your straw man, and once you do that, you can issue all these drafts. And what this guy had done is he'd issued drafts to pay off the IRS, and he had gone over to Spokane. And Tommy, I didn't know. Have you ever heard of a Toyota pickup truck that cost $90,000?
No, not yet.
Well, apparently
they're working on it, but I don't think they've got that one built yet.
Okay. Well, anyway, he bought one for about $90,000. Then he bought a car from a dealership over there. And you know, the horror of this whole theory that Roger Elvick concocted is that you issue these drafts allegedly drawn on an account that you supposedly have with the Treasury of the United States. So, in essence, you're simulating an actual financial instrument of the United States government. Now, that doesn't make sense to me. It's as foolish as could be, and especially when the account doesn't exist. And so this guy had been told, you know, go out and pay off the IRS and go out and buy cars, you know, which a lot of people did at the time, and they're still doing, mind you. But all of this was just incredible nonsense, and it got a lot of people in jail. And
well,
got this guy in jail, and I had to defend from jail. But then also at the same time, I had a case also up in Idaho involving the Montana Freeman drafts. And let me just tell you, I sat down and I analyzed both of these theories, this redemption process and what the Montana Freeman were advocating. And it was just, it turned my stomach. I had a whole bunch of, I'd sit in my hotel room and watch these videotapes and, you know, get extremely upset in my stomach. You know,
it's kind of like watching somebody passing out cyanide Kool-Aid to people, and they're just thinking of up and down, you know, for giving it to them.
Yeah, but you know, this is what's the danger, and it still goes on. You know, it hadn't been but a couple of weeks ago that I read some information on the internet about some guy out in the western state who's locked up in jail, and what he'd done is he'd gotten into with a Roger Elvick, and you know, he'd bought several cars, bought one new car with one of these drafts. Then after you buy the car, you go over to, you sell it to another car dealership, and you can, you know, if you trade it in a brand new car for an older car, you can get cash back, and so you'll have a decent car plus cash in your pocket.
All right.
And
well,
that's what this stuff.
So these guys end up committing forgery, uttering false documents, false instruments, whatever. Host of state and federal theft, in effect, they're being led to committing a theft by people that have absolutely, you know, no reason to be even trying or wanting to hurt people.
Yeah, well, you take people that have absolutely no problems, they end up in jail.
Yeah.
Let me give you another example. I ran into a fellow named Ron Lutz. He called himself Diogenes on the internet. This is back.
Well, Ron's going to have to wait for it because they're going to run us off and run some more commercials here, but hang on, everybody. We'll be back and talk about Mr. Ron Lutz for a second.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold.
articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat munters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel or Jeff Bennett help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
On the internet, Diogenes, you know, like the man walking around Athens with a lamp looking for the honest man.
Right.
And, you know, he proclaimed himself to be Diogenes. He lived out in the L.A. area. And I ran across him right before Nick Jessen had invited me to come out to Nick Jessen used to be involved in the tax movement. He was one of these employers that got off in the 861 argument. But Nick had invited me and a whole bunch of other people to come out there to have a planning session on his yacht. But I was going to be going out to L.A. the week right after I ran into, the week right before I ran into Ron Lutz on the internet. And, you know, we got into a shouting match, you know, by the words on the internet. And I told Lutz I was going to be out there. So I arranged a meeting for him there, and I found he was promoting this redemption process. He was having that nightly classes. And I pointed out all the flaws in it. But, you know, he wanted to prove to everybody that it worked. And so he bought a car with one of these drafts drawn on this Treasury Direct account at the Treasury. And last I heard, he got an 8-year sentence.
Ouch.
But you know, so don't tell me that some of these things do not happen. They do. They have, you know, I've seen too many people that have absolutely no problems that will come along and, you know, do your cause for patriotism, do something stupid, you know, increase your criminal problems by getting into trouble. And people will do it.
Yeah, no doubt. That's one of the things that just raises a hackle on my bear side when I see folks, you know, getting that type of treatment. And whenever there are way too many lawyers out here for them to say, well, I couldn't find qualified counsel to tell me what the law all was on it. I'd like to, Larry, if you would, I'd like to talk about some of the particulars on some of these things that are not just floating around back in the 80s and still kind of coming back and resurfacing from time to time, but some that actually run across. I went back and looked in my email box and just pulled up some of the things that people were forwarding to me with a wonderful and golden intention of helping me, you know, with my battle with the IRS and the federal government. But at the same time, kind of asking about them sometimes. And we've had a number of calls on this program where I wish I'd had you here to answer them, and we're going to talk to some of those folks in the next hour. If somebody wants to call in and has a question about one of these, then call us and get a program with Larry B. Craft on Republic Broadcast Network, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. But right now, and between now and the top of the hour, I'd like to run some of these ideas by you and just get you to just bounce them off of you and let you give us a quick background on them. And you mind doing that?
That's what I thought we were going
to
do.
All right. Well, that's what we're here to do. Now, first one that came in, I talked about Jim Kelsey sent me an email saying, hey, do you cover this on your program? So that's exactly what we're going to do. He forwarded me a little piece that talks about how in 1871, the United States of America was incorporated, and it's limited only to D.C. Now, I've got an idea of what that's about, but I'd rather come from an authoritative source. Are you familiar with that one?
Very familiar. I've got it addressed over on my website, and you want me to just take off and address it?
Well, since you mentioned that, why don't you mention your website? How do people get to your website and find your debt issue files or whatever? I've forgotten what you called it.
Well, it's real simple. Just get on Google and type in Becraft Briefs, B-E-C-R-A-F-T, and that'll link it right up.
All right.
A long, complicated URL, but Becraft Briefs will take you right over there to it. Now, Tommy, let me just jump right into this. For years, I have heard people talk about this Act of 1871. Well, you know, in 1871, like any other year, Congress was meeting, and there are several hundred acts in any given year. So to say the Act of 1871 is, you know, something profound, but that's what most people call it, the Act of 1871. But the story is best I can tell by various proponents of it, and, of course, various arguments utilize just this little bit of information to develop a number of different legal theories. But, you know, I've heard a wide variety of things. You know, the Act of 1871 created the United States Incorporated, and, you know, that's the entity that controls all 14th Amendment citizens. And, you know, there's just a wide variety of theories based upon this Act of 1871, which merely just dealt with the establishment of a form of government for Washington, D.C. Now, all of them presume, all legal arguments presume, that this Act of 1871 still continues in effect today. It continued for 20 years after it was enacted. It continued for 60 years after it was enacted. It continued for 100 years after it was enacted, 140 years after it was enacted. The simple fact of the matter is that it's untrue. First and foremost, you know, governments always create these municipal corporations known as cities. You know, there are some states that, you know, don't even require, I think, that a city be even a municipal corporation. But nonetheless, most of them are municipal corporations created by law.
And many of them are chartered in the state constitution.
Yeah, that's true. But if not, you know, at least by law of the jurisdiction that you're dealing with. Well, you know, Congress, you know, one of the first act, you know, by 1801, you know, Washington, D.C. was an incorporated city. You know, when the Constitution set aside 10 square miles for the nation's capital, one act created two counties, the Alexandria County and the Washington County. And, of course, then you had Washington City that was established inside of Washington County. Well, you know, there's several acts dealing with the incorporation of Washington, D.C. before this Act of 1871.
Well, what happened to the Act of 1871?
Well, you know, it came along, and it was kind of like today what we would call a metro government. You know, according to the theory is that it created a territorial government. Well, you know, what Congress was really doing was creating a municipal corporation for Washington, D.C. by that act. Now, it did not continue in existence. Here's what really happened. You know, pursuant to that act, you know, they had some mayors and commissioners and supervisors that were created by that act, and those guys wanted Washington, D.C. to be, you know, a very opulent capital. And so they ran up huge debts in the name of Washington. Well, Congress had to, about 2 or 3 years after that act was in essence, after the adoption of that act, Congress repealed it. So it didn't last but for a couple of years.
So all of these theories are based on a municipal corporation act that was repealed before the turn of the 20th century.
Well, to be truthful, it was repealed 2 or 3 years after it was enacted.
Yeah.
None of these promoters even bring that out, the fact that it was repealed.
Well, let's look at another one. I've got another one here that says that, you know, this will help me in my case where everything is pushing down. And it says, since all law is commercial and all cases begin in admiralty, sometimes something is as simple as a restricted signature on is all that's needed to bring Goliath to his knees, and recommends a process called the beneficiaries in common payment method. Is that more of the UCC deal you were talking about with the...
It sounds like it, because this, you know, admiralty concept's been promoted also with the UCC. Let me tell you about how this UCC argument got, you know, this is probably a good time for us to get into it.
All right.
The theory is that in HGR 192 was adopted by Congress in the early 30s, 1933, and that was the act of the international bankers taking over the United States, as well as all governments of the world. And since the international bankers are really commercial, and since they took over the United States through this bankruptcy, you know, there's a trustee for the bankruptcy of the United States, so they had to bring in commercial law. You know, since you got a commercial owner of the government, you know, commercial law is supreme. And so this idea was concocted that the UCC was this commercial law. Mind you, that it wasn't but for another 20 years before the UCC was really promoted and the states began to adopt the Uniform Commercial Code. But, you know, that's the essence of it. And, of course, you fit in Roger Elvick's birth certificates and everything else into that, you know, at the relevant time frames after that. But then again, these people said that there was this Erie Railway case back in 1938 that banished the common law. Well, let me just tell you about the Erie Railway case.
Is that the foreign interest?
It could be, but, you know, even the foreign stuff, that's wrong, too, because the cases say, you know, the United States is not foreign to the states. But let me tell you about the Erie Railway case. You know, in order to make this thing fly, you know, there was a fellow by the name of Howard Freeman that went around talking about he had these secret conversations with these judges, and, you know, all the lawyers and all the legal community knew that there was this bankruptcy of the United States and the international bankers had taken over the government of the United States. And as a consequence, no law before 1938 could be cited in court cases. Have you ever heard of such an idea?
No.
But that's what was promoted. But the Erie Railway case, here's what it involved. The facts were that Tompkins was walking along the Erie Railway tracks, and something was sticking out of one of these trains and hit his body. You know, the opinion doesn't tell you the personal injuries that he suffered. But nonetheless, there was something sticking out of the train, and he got injured as he was walking along the right-of-way on a railroad track. Well, so he instituted suit. So the question becomes, you know, what law? You know, this is a choice of law question, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's
a conflict of law, with, you know, depending on how you put terminology you're accustomed to.
Right. And so the question becomes, does the common law of the state where all this happened control the outcome of this case? And at that time, you know, these courts, the federal courts, were kind of deciding on their own what the common law of a state was in a tort action like this.
Well, which they still do in a diversity suit.
Yeah. But,
you know, but they do rely on state authorities for that.
Absolutely. And you, aren't most of your doesn't the common law, by and large, control questions of property, real property?
Well, they do in the 49 errant states.
Yeah, I forgot about you being from a Napoleonic code state.
Well, we're actually from the Roman code, but that's another story. Let's go ahead. Let's get to Erie. I want to hear the rest of this.
Well, the Supreme Court basically said that there is no federal common law, and that's absolutely true. But the federal law is
purely civilian. It's whatever Congress makes is the law, and if it doesn't make it, it's not the law.
Yeah, but then common law is within the province of the states, and what the Erie Railway case does is it makes the common law all that much more significant for federal purposes.
But
yet the idea went floating around, you know, that this decision banished all of the common law, and of course that helps make the UCC become the controlling law everywhere.
Well, I mean, that's asinine.
Yeah.
That's absolutely asinine because it just is. I mean, it's so ridiculous that how do you even respond to something like that? It's like somebody saying my hair is on fire and it isn't. What do you tell them?
Yeah.
Obviously, the common law governs state issues and state and torts. You know, for those who don't know what a tort is, other than a fancy dessert, it's a T-O-R-T. It's a personal injury, a wrongful act that generates or causes liability on the part of one for the damages he's caused another. Those issues are governed by state law unless they're preempted by the federal. So naturally, the federal courts are going to have to look to state law on that, but that doesn't mean the state law is supreme over the Constitution. And at UCC, then, which is not even the common law, it's a civilian law. That's black letter law, right?
Yeah, but you know this is the way this argument got started, and you know the problem is that you know I see over and over and over again cases are quoted for these amazing propositions. And first, if you can find the case, because quite often the cite to the case is inaccurate.
Larry, I'd like to, you know, we're fixing to hit on another break here in a couple of minutes here, and I'd like for you to touch on another one still. The IRS is a domestic corporation in Nevada. That it's really, and then you'll have branches of that I've seen, that the IRS is really a foreign collection agency for the Treasury Department, and it's run by a shadow secretary. What's the deal on all of those?
Well, you know, one thing's for certain. There has never been an act of Congress that established either the Bureau of Internal Revenue or the IRS. That's for certain. But as a consequence of, you know, that deficiency, you know, people have come up with all sorts of theories. Now, one, I do know that there is an IRS incorporated out in Nevada.
Yeah, of course I could.
It was some guy came along and just created.
I could file a set of articles with the Secretary of State of Louisiana if the name wasn't taken on the state Secretary of State's books.
That's true. And there was a guy that did that, you know, back in about 1989 or 1990. You know, he came along and filed a certificate of incorporation for Internal Revenue Service Incorporated.
So if it's not enough to go off on a wild goose chase from a case that they didn't understand, they go out and actually create an underlying situation in order to form an issue.
Well, that did happen.
Yeah, I've seen the register, but it also has the name of the incorporator, and it isn't the United States.
I mean, you could probably go out tomorrow in your own state and get a lawyer or do it yourself. You know, you can find the paperwork on the internet, I guess.
Yeah. Now, two weeks ago, while I was up in Washington D.C. at the We the People annual conference, I received a flood of just joyous announcements. People jumping up and down. If you jump up and down by email, talking about the death of the income tax. When we get back, I'd like for you to talk about that for a minute if you can. But we're fixing to take a break now. If you want to get on, 800-313-9443.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report. Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Welcome back to the Live Free Zone. I'm Tom Cryer, and we've got Larry V. Craft, probably the foremost authority on tax constitutional historical issues, on with us today. And I just asked Larry if he could comment on this latest rash of celebrations going around that because the government had failed to respond timely, I'm presuming here, to some form of discovery, the entire government was a stop from ever bringing up the income tax in court again. Now, Larry, what are your thoughts on the celebration? Are we popping the cork a little early there?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely. I wish I'd known that we were going to look at this. But I remember looking at this several weeks ago, and I reached the mental conclusions, and you know, I just tossed it aside. But, you know, since we had that break in the interim, you know, I just did a Google search to kind of bring up some stuff. And you know, this is my understanding of what that's about. And there's a fellow by the name of Paul Andrew Mitchell, whose real name is Mitch Modaleski. Back in the mid-'80s, I did work on this topic of 1-8-17 jurisdiction. You know, Congress has exclusive jurisdiction over Washington, D.C., the Force Magazines, Arsenal, Dockyards, and other deedful buildings.
Right. Federal enclaves.
All right. And I found the Billy Murdoch found, and we made available to the public, this 1957 government report. And, of course, I got a lot of jurisdictional materials over on my website. But, you know, I thought when we started, Bill and I went across the country talking about federal jurisdiction. Bill took the government report, Bill Benson, and reproduced it, you know, just like the original. Of course, you know, the one that Bill sold looked exactly like the original, except the originals were a lot older. You know, if you held an original in your hand, it was 60 years old, and Bill's was right off the press. But all he did is he just typeset the, you know, he copied the typeset original and put it out just like the original, and it was an excellent book. But Paul Andrew Mitchell comes along, and Mitch Molesky, he gets all this stuff, a hold of this stuff, and he starts promoting jurisdiction too. But, you know, he's kind of a ne'er-do-well. You know, I don't like him for this simple reason. You know, it got to the point, you know, where Paul Andrew Mitchell believed that he was the only one that, you know, they had the copyright on all the ability of anyone to talk about 1817 jurisdiction. He turned around and sued a whole bunch of people, including Bill Benson.
Now, when you say 1817, so that our listeners will understand, if they want to go look that up, that's not a statute he's talking about. He's talking about Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, which deals with the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of granted Congress over the District of Columbia and the territories and the federal properties. Well, not the territories. Territories are later. But federal enclaves or properties where the federal government has taken jurisdiction ceded by the state. But go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I wanted to clarify the 1817 reference.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we're two lawyers. We're talking, and we'll abbreviate, but we got to remember we've got a lot of folks here that are not.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did that, Tommy. But in any event, you know, this thing about the federal income tax is dead. You know, Paul Landry Mitchell claims he's a private attorney general, and apparently he's gotten involved in some case involving some people that are being sued for over tax liens. And, you know, he's tried to intervene in the United States in that case as a private attorney general. And I think what he's done is he's asked a whole bunch of interrogatories that didn't get answered, and then he filed some paperwork up at the Tenth Circuit. And, you know, I took a look at the docket sheet, you know, of the Tenth Circuit appeal. None of that stuff's been filed. You know, he just...
But even if it had, Larry, correct me if I'm wrong here, when somebody fails to respond to discovery, it doesn't result in an automatic estoppel situation or an automatic impact. What happens is you have to follow the process to compel and to then have the court determine what the appropriate consequences are for that failure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking at here, you know, he's got in this note that went across America, U.S. DOJ attempted to appear on behalf of a Delaware corporation.